Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with entrepreneur, international best-selling author, speaker, artist, educator, and coach, Larissa Russell. She is the founder of Creative You Healing, an online coaching and learning platform that helps women step into their authenticity with the help of creativity. She is also the founder of Queer Voices, a not-for-profit organization that shares LGBT plus stories. Her mission is to work with women who are ready to make changes in their lives. As a master of change through her life's adventures, Larissa has a unique perspective that helps women learn and feel comfortable with their boundaries, as well as what they really want from their lives. We get into all of this and so much more. Enjoy the interview.
Thanks for taking a minute out to talk today.
Yes, absolutely.
So before we get into your life, there's so many things that are going on as an author, speaker, artist, advocate, coach, educator. I want to know how you survived the 2-year pandemic window, how you got through that window, you know, now that things are opening up, and how it subsequently changed the way that not only you live your life, but the way that you approach business.
Oh, yeah. It definitely has changed a lot because I've always been someone who has been a go, 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 run, 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 fill all the time sort of person. And so having to slow down and just focus on one thing, and that has been my business. And so creating and then helping others create and heal has been a big part of that. So just learning to slow down was huge. And then how that's changed is I had just started to go on to online teaching. I've been teaching for like 30 plus years. But a few months before the pandemic, I started online, and it just grew things exponentially. And the majority of people, surprisingly, are like, I've never used Zoom. I didn't even know this was a thing. So it's been opening up the whole world for a lot of people.
You know, I noticed that, too, with a lot of people in the medical profession. And I think it's such a good thing because, I mean, you're still getting what you need to get out of it. But it really is. I think it kind of opens up people's schedule a little bit and may take away a little bit of anxiety.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of people just going out in the world is overwhelming, right? And there's just so much going on. And so being able, I know for my own self, talking to my doctor via phone has been so much better. He's an anxious little person. And so I get anxious when I'm around him. But talking on the phone, I can't see his leg tapping. I can't see all of that. So it's much better. And I know when I'm sharing, we typically use Zoom so we can see each other. But it's just, we're in our own setting. We're comfortable. You know, I have a morning meditation class. We show up in our pajamas. You can't do that when you're out in the world.
No, you can't. And that ultimately boosts comfort. I know my son, who has special needs, he has appointments that he goes to. And it's so much better because he ultimately isn't in the conversation long enough. So typically in the past, you would have to drive and go down, and there was extra anxiety. So now it's just a lot easier. I think it's probably really helped a lot of people. It's one of the great outgrowths of what we've lived through. There are so many things that you do, and what I want to do is I want to kind of make this a little bit easier for everyone to understand out there. I'm going to put you in front of a bunch of third graders at a career day, and one of them looks up at you and says, what do you do for a living? How would you answer them?
Ultimately, I help specifically women, because that's who I work with, really become their best selves. And there's so many aspects to that. Creativity is a part of that. Meditation is a part of that. Journaling. We start to dig under to what is holding us back. So I help women just become who they were meant to be.
How would you explain what you do to me? How would you kind of delve a little bit further into what exactly you do and how you do the work you do?
Well, there's a few different layers to that. And so what I do is generally find out sort of what they think the issues might be and then question that. Because we're often told things that we're supposed to think or believe, especially as women, and it's not true. And so starting to challenge some of those things that we've been told we need to be, we need to do all the things, we need to be the wonderful mother, the take care of the home, have a job, do all the things, And often, especially the women that I deal with are later in life, and they may have, you know, the kids have left and they're now like, what do I do? Or, you know, they're getting to the end of their career and they're like, I've hated this job my whole life, or not quite at the end. And they're like, this is not for me. I just can't keep doing this. And it's like, okay, so what's stopping you from doing what you want to be doing? And often it's, they don't even know what they want to be doing. They don't know what is could be different because they've never been given that opportunity. Excuse me. So starting to look at what that might be, and there's lots of different ways that we do that. Like I said, journaling is a big part of it, but painting to uncover emotions and actually start to tap into what we're feeling, starting to recognize where in our body we actually feel things, is huge. And so that's the kind of work that we do to sort of start to uncover what you want, and then how can you move towards that? Because it's super scary.
Talk to me a little bit about how this began for you. Kind of go back to your childhood, where you were born and raised, and kind of how these seeds were planted in you. And before you do that, let's go back to when you were in the third grade. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I wanted to be a truck driver.
Oh, cool. So are you
don't
happy
ask me
with
why?
That? Yeah, yeah. Well, you get to see the world. You get to get paid for doing it. I mean, there is a romanticism that goes into that, for sure. Are you happy with how everything turned out?
In my life? It's
yeah,
been a
your
hard
profession.
Journey to get where I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a very difficult journey to get where I am. And, you know, I have been teaching for 30-plus years, mostly in the art field, creativity. And the healing aspect came after I started to use it after a near-death experience. The depression had gotten so bad that I was hospitalized and would have taken my own life if certain things hadn't happened. And I realized that I needed to be responsible for my own self because the mental health system just wasn't there for me. And so I started to do things like journaling and painting and things like that to start to express emotions. And as I did more and more of that, I realized how important this work was. And that's why I needed to share it. But yeah, how I got here was a long and winding path of childhood trauma and, you know, discovering my own self later in life after a partner died, and, you know, family that disowned me, and many, many different things. I have, at 50 years old, was diagnosed with being on the autism spectrum. At 54, was diagnosed with ADHD. And so there's just been a long path that's led me here to start to understand, you know, things just need to change. This doesn't work for us.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that you found out later in life about being on the spectrum. And I'm fascinated by this notion because in this community, I've talked to a lot of people that have gone down that have figured that out. And my son's 18. He's just getting ready to enter that kind of adult world. And his entire life, he's been on the spectrum. He has one piece of genetic material on his on a chromosome. Mm-hmm. And it's led to developmental delays. And I've known it his whole life. It's been just a part of who he is. So I find that interesting how people respond and what people do when they do find that out late in life. Has it made you more receptive to life and opened you up in a positive way? What did that do for you?
Well, it definitely made me understand myself better, because I had been trying to fit myself into a box I literally didn't fit in, right? I kept trying to, you know, contort myself to fit into this world that was unaccepting of who I was. And so I kept trying to change myself. And as I've, A, gotten older, but B, been diagnosed and started to understand what I do and why I do it, it's really helped me to sort of move forward, but also in understanding how other people also behave. It's amazing how many people that come to me actually end up being on the spectrum as well, because I think, you know, your people find you. And so as you become more open to people who are not fitting in, then they just, it's a safe place, right? And so there's that as well. And I think, it's been a big part of understanding my own self, which then allows me to understand other people better.
Talk to me a little bit about inspirations. Who's been a role model or a hero for you in your life?
Oh, I don't know that I have, inspirational people. I think that's part of being on the spectrum as well, is that I'm always just sort of competing with my own self. I would say that, I don't want to do like the Oprah thing, but, people who definitely step outside of the expected, right? As a Black woman to end up being one of the wealthiest women in the world, people who have sort of beyond all odds done things. And that's important to me when I see that. But I don't have, role models per se. I'm always just trying to better my own self. And so I try to really look at that as opposed to comparing myself to other people.
So if you could meet anybody alive on the planet right now and talk to them, who would it be? Who would you love to meet and talk to?
Live on the planet right now. Oh my goodness. That's a really good question. If I could meet anyone on the planet right now, the president of the Ukraine, I think he's quite amazing. He was an actor and became the president, and what he's had to do, like to just sit down and understand like that switch and how he did it, and how he still kept connection with his kids, even though they're not there, they're in a safer place and things like that. I think that would be a fascinating conversation.
It's weird, too. It's fascinating how life works. He was actually an actor impersonating a president. So, so it's just so weird how fiction and nonfiction kind of mirror each other sometimes. Let me kind of take a twist on this a little bit. Is there anybody from your past that has left Earth that you would like to talk to, that you didn't get a chance to, or that you would like to reconnect with?
Selfishly, I would say my mother, because just to, for that understanding, like there's a reason I was the way I was. and she may have very well been on that spectrum as well, just with her need to always be what everybody else needed. So, just to have that conversation about, being who we are, because that was never really allowed when I was growing up. And so that would be definitely one. There's some fascinating people from history, though. I think of St. Hildegard and the things that she did back in the, 10th, 11th century around the church, and how she really pushed the limits and things like that. Like, there's some fascinating people in history like that.
So if you have a dream tonight and you run into your younger version, say in your 20s, and you could give that version of you a piece of advice based on what you've lived, the wisdom you've gained in your life, what advice would you give to your younger version?
Oh, just be yourself, right? Like, just don't worry about what other people think, because if you could just be yourself, the people who need to be in your life will be there. What you need will arrive. Quit trying to contort yourself for other people's needs and expectations.
Yeah. The one thing too in our development and memories of our lives are the art, that's been really seminal, whether it's a book or an album or visual art. What has that been for you? What's brought you comfort or inspired you, whether it's a book or an album or visual art?
I have some interesting ideas around art and things like that. And there is a painting in the Vatican of, it's a Holocaust survivor had painted it, and it's train tracks into a black tunnel. And there's a bunch of, tattoo numbers and things like that around it. And that for me is like this vivid memory of when you don't follow sort of the path of the divine, and not the Holocaust survivors, but the reason that the Holocaust even happened, when power and ego and things like that get in the way of actually exploring truth. And I think of that painting often, and I constantly forget the name of it, but it's one of those pieces that just haunts you, that reminds you, I'll have to look up the name again, just reminds you that, you know, life takes really black turns because of, you know, choices that people make, but there is another, there is light at the end of that tunnel, even if it's black. It seems all black.
Everyone out there has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your clients, your readers, but ultimately you're the one that's living your life. You're in control of what you are and who you are. What's your perception? Yes. Who do you think you are?
Multifaceted, I have to say. As someone who, you know, as I said, realized very late in life, being on the spectrum, I had learned to mask, which is a very common thing that women on the spectrum do, so they fit in better. And so I'm a different person. Every person who knows me knows a different version of me. And so learning to bring all those pieces back together has been quite a journey. And I'm not even sure I know exactly who I am yet. I try every day to find and bring those like true pieces back. And I think I'm kinder than a lot of people realize. Many people find me kind. However, because I'm a very blunt speaker, people take offense to that often. I'm much more willing to give. I'm not good at receiving. Even though I don't know all the pieces, I'm starting to pick those pieces from looking at my past and what was me and what wasn't me. So it's kind of a hard question to ask, answer, I mean. Yeah.
Well, the one thing that's interesting about that question is that there is always this feeling that you didn't quite answer it, but you totally answered it. You know, I think it's a big question, and it really encapsulates who you are as a person, but I think you totally did. You know, for everyone out there that's listening, that's curious about you and anything that you do as far as your business or your books, where is the best place on the web for them to go?
You can find me at creativeu, that's the letter U, .ca. So I am in Canada. However, we are global, and that's a starting point for everything. Creativeu.ca is where you can find us on social media, the website, all the different places, creativeubusiness.com as well. But yeah, creativeu with the letter U.
You know, I don't want to overly romanticize this notion about, you know, Canada, but I got to tell you, you know, I interview a lot of musicians, and a lot of musicians are from Canada. There's really a stronghold, especially in Toronto. And I'm always fascinated with the way that I interact with Canadian musicians versus others from around the world. And I always remind them that it's beautiful that the government supports so many good grant programs to allow them to make albums. And you have a socialized health system. I think those two things in America, and I know that we have grants too, but it's more commonplace from what I can see. And then even the strain of being an independent musician and having to worry about healthcare. There's a level of things that happen in Canada that I wish would be instituted more widely. And unfortunately in this country, anything that's called socialized, quote unquote, has been demonized and weaponized by the political agenda of people in this country. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. I'm always fascinated at the just the things, and I know it's not perfect, and I'm always kind of halted and corrected, but I think there's a level of that really is good. When your government supports your health care and you don't have to worry about drowning in debt, and they support the arts, I think they really put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, there are some ways that I do agree. A lot of my clients are in the States, and healthcare is a big problem. There are just, you know, like people lose their homes because they get sick. And it's like you've had this home your whole life, and you get sick and you lose everything. I don't understand that. But, you know.
Yeah, and that is kind of an unfortunate tragedy that happens in this country a lot. You can just be going along, and because of our healthcare system, it can really do some crippling things. But at any rate, I didn't mean to get into a rabbit hole, but when you mentioned Canada and I knew with the .ca that, yeah, that was definitely the case. But thank you for opening up. Thank you for taking some time out. Have a great 2023. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another Famous Interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, music, spirituality, and more from around the globe. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube and Spotify. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.